فاطمة علي زراعة بينا فاطمة علي زراعة بينا فاطمة علي زراعة بينا فاطمة علي زراعة بينا فاطمة علي.
Wild Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Martin Webb. And for the next 2 weeks, Lucy Duran will be reporting from Equatorial Guinea. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. There's music through the night with me, John Shea, from 12:30, starting with Bach's B minor Mass from last summer's Proms. But now at 11, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello, welcome to Jazz Lineup, coming from Derry, Londonderry, for a very special recording as part of this year's City of Derry Jazz and Big Band Festival, and celebrating Derry's title as the UK City of Culture 2013. We're definitely contributing to Derry's cultural festivities with BBC broadcaster and trumpeter Lindley Hamilton, with his sextet featuring the wonderful American vocalist Dana Masters. We've got BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist Trish Clues and her quintet featuring the wonderful pianist Gwilym Simcock, plus another one of my Irish broadcasting colleagues, Walter Love. So let's get straight on with the music of Trish Clues. Chris Montague's on the guitar, Gwilym Simcock on the piano, Callum Gawley's on the bass, James Madras on the drums, Trish Clues is on tenor. Please welcome Trish Clues Quintet.
Thank you.
Trish Clues and the Quintet with Little Tune featuring Chris Montague on guitar, Callum Gawley on the bass, James Madron on the drums. And I'm very happy to say that both Trish and Gwillem are going to join me. Well, it sounds like you guys love playing together, Trish. Tell me about the choice of these guys to play in your band.
This is a band that has evolved over quite a considerable number of years. We all came through this wonderful jazz course at the Royal Academy of Music in London. As I was writing music, I was writing with these guys in mind, which is a wonderful position to be in. It's over 5 years that we've been playing together, probably more like eight, really. So the music, as I say, evolved, and then Gwillem became involved with my first album, and that's when that was the first time that we really worked together on my music. And then gradually, as time's gone by, we've done more and more stuff together, and this is, you know, the lineup that we've sort of ended up with over the past sort of 6 months to a year with the new album coming out. And what a pleasure it is to play with these fantastic people on stage, and how they interpret the music and how they get on board with things so quickly and try things out. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful environment to work in.
You're BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist. What does that mean to you?
If I'm going to be bestowed with this unbelievable opportunity, you know, because there's only been I'm only the fourth jazz new generation artist, so it really is, you know, an honour to be involved, and all the wonderful people that I've met, you know. So as a musician, you're always with musicians, and you know, to meet so many fantastic people who are on the other side of things, producing the radio programs and organizing things, and it's just been absolutely fantastic, inspiring experience to have all this input. And I've just learned so much in the past, you know, I've only been doing it about 6 months, but really unbelievable opportunity.
Gwillem, you were the first new generation jazz artist, and what would you advise Trish to do with this particular opportunity?
One of the wonderful things about Trish is that she's very driven to make the most of things, and already we've had many conversations about the loads of ideas that Trish has for the future, and both the writing and playing. And I think that's very much the best way to approach being involved with a scheme like this, is to, you've got to be very proactive about doing a lot yourself to get the most out of it. And I think that's the same as a musician generally, scheme or no scheme. When you're trying to forge your career, you're really, you know, it's down to yourself, your responsibility to make the most of it. And it's great when you have people to help you on your way. And I think we've all been fortunate to have some very good teachers along the line and other sort of mentors. I know Ian Bellamy's been a fantastic person for Trish and also for myself. And people like that are absolutely crucial, because that's how you really learn, from seeing the people who've done that. And one of the beautiful things I found from coming from being a studying music at school to becoming a professional jazz musician is all the people that you really look up to, especially in this country, the great musicians like the John Taylors and Stan Saltzman and Julian Arguelles, Ian Bellamy, people like that, Django Bates. You get to actually meet them eventually, and and play with them, and you realise that they're just really nice people who are just out there trying to make a career of it like we are. So that it's a great leveller in a way, that we're all just trying to make some music.
What would you say are the hallmarks of Trish's particular gift?
I think it's very ethereal, the way that Trish plays. I really like that. I've been very fortunate to play with lots of different saxophone players, and everyone has a very different approach to making music. And I think the way that Trish writes and also plays, both those things are very ethereal and really suit each other quite well. And I'm very interested to see how things develop as time goes on, because they do. I mean, we all grow as musicians and change throughout the course of our lives, and it's really exciting to think what everyone will be doing in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, because you don't really suddenly wake up one day and think, right, I've made it, you know, this, you've achieved it, because it never works like that. And you carry on learning and growing and developing till the day that you die, really. And I think that's one of the fascinating things about forging a long-term musical relationship with people, because you get to see that development, you know, just like seeing a child grow up, and it's really invaluable to have that opportunity to play together as a group. And as Trish has said, you know, the band basically has played together for at least sort of 5, 6, 7 years. And, you know, if you can get to the stage where you've played together for 15, 20, 25 years, then it gets really special, because you have that sort of second guessing of what everyone's going to do.
It's been great watching your progression over the years, and you're going to play a solo piano piece for us before we hear the quintet again. So what are you going to play for us?
We've sort of got a lot of original music, obviously, in the set, so I thought I'd just play something a bit more familiar, so I'll just have a little footle around and see what happens.
Okay. Gwilym Simcock and Trish Clues. Thank you. Willem Simcock and his rendition of Every Time We Say Goodbye, or as he likes to put it, footling around. That was beautiful, Gwilym. Absolutely beautiful. Stunning. Gwilym Simcock, the very first BBC Radio 3 New Generation Jazz Artist. And now he'll join the current New Generation Jazz Artist, Trish Clues, and the band again to play their second set. Thank you.
Trish Clues Quintet, ladies and gentlemen, with Chris Montague on the guitar, Callum Gawley on the bass, James Madron on the drums, and special guest Mr. Willem Simcock on the piano. Trish Clues is playing tenor saxophone. And their rendition of Londonderry Air, very fitting, arranged by Ian Ballamy. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, coming to you from the Tower Hotel as part of this year's City of Derry Jazz and Big Band Festival, and celebrating Derry's title as the UK City of Culture 2013. Coming up shortly, a performance from the Linley Hamilton Sextet featuring vocalist Dana Masters. Before that, let's hear another of Ireland's famous jazz voices. Please welcome jazz broadcaster Walter Love. Walter, tell us about the Jazz Club at Sunday nights at 7 p.m. on BBC Radio Ulster.
Well, it's a programme that's been running for some time now. In fact, I was trying to think, actually, when it actually did begin, because I've been presenting jazz for many years now. Sometimes it was on a Friday night, then it was on a Wednesday night. For a long time, it was on a Monday night. But now it's 7 o'clock on Sundays. One of the things I like to do in Jazz Club is to focus on some of the reissues, because recordings that have been out of availability for a number of years, it's rather nice to give them a second hearing. And one of the things I like to do in Jazz Club, in any case, is if jazz appeals to me, I like to share it with people. I like to say to people, listen to this, I think it's great, and I hope you do too.
Any new artists on your radar lately?
Well, I was at the Playhouse here in Derry on Saturday night, listening to local pianist John Layton, and he had a very interesting guitarist, an Italian, another Julian, by the way, Julian Cororossi, who is based in Dublin, and I think he's somebody to watch out for too, as is John, of course. John's a pianist, a songwriter and singer. He focuses quite a bit on his songwriting. He just bought himself a Hammond organ. He got it on Thursday and was playing it on Saturday night. It still had the L plates on it, but I think he'll be dropping those very shortly.
What do we have to look forward to on your show for next week?
Well, a very good friend of mine in London, Mike Poynton, who's trombonist. He's also a jazz historian and author, and I record him occasionally. We talk about various people, and we're doing a little feature on Louis Prima and Ukulele Ike Edwards from way, way back. So that'll be coming up in a few weeks' time.
As usual, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much. Walter Love.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, as I alluded to before, time to introduce another one of BBC's jazz voices, broadcaster Linley Hamilton. Linley's show also airs on BBC Radio Ulster. It goes out on Friday nights at 10 p.m. As well as being a broadcaster, he's first and foremost a trumpeter and band leader, so please show your appreciation for the members of his sextet on stage. We've got Milana Gillard on saxophone. We've got Scott Flanagan on piano, Carl Harvey on the bass, Steve Davis on drums, and Dana Masters will be joining them on vocals. And please put your hands together for, on the trumpet, Mr. Linley Hamilton.
Thank you. been waiting here for your heart to see the beauty in me. If I could have a single chance for me to steal a loving glance, then you would know just how I feel. When I look at you, I see possibilities I never thought would come true. If I could have a single dance to share romance perchance with you, then you would know just how I feel. Oh, some people say it's true that dreams tell a thing or two. And sleep as if I'll ever sleep again. I close my eyes and dream that you'll be there, dear. It's been such a long, long time. If you held my hand, I'm sure you'd find that I'm the one who loves you. Flying, I am trying, spinning circles here for you. To hear you tell me that you feel the same way too, yeah. My heart's desire is you. My one desire is you, you, babe. I love what's heaven said. I know what Shakespeare made. My heart's desire. I've been waiting here for your heart to see the beauty in me. If I could have a single dance for me to steal a loving glance,
and you would know just how I feel, yeah. When I look at you, I see possibilities I never thought would come true. If I could have a single date to share a man's perchance with you, you would know just how I feel, yeah. Oh, some people say it's true that dreams can tell a thing or two. And sleep as if I'll ever sleep again. Who loves you? Flying, I am trying, spending circles here for you. To hear you tell me that you feel the same way too, yeah. Oh, oh, my heart's desire is you. My one desire is you, you, baby. Our love was heaven sent. I know what Shakespeare meant. My heart's desire is you.
The Lindley Hamilton Sextet and My Heart's Desire, featuring the vocals of Dana Masters. And I'm very happy to say I'm speaking with both Lindley and Dana. So, very great set. You've got such talented players and you're sharing your platform with everybody. Is this the way you see the band?
Well, it's not just the band. It's quite a small jazz scene in Northern Ireland in particular, and I try and operate it very democratically. They fire their ideas in, and we're trying to make something grow, get an energy behind it, get a force behind it. And whenever you can see, we have very educated jazz punters who come along to these concerts, and they play a very, very vital role, not just in our development, but the development of the set, because we want to keep them on board and then bring them with us as we get slightly more adventurous, I guess.
Tell me, how's the broadcasting going?
It's fun. The show moved from a Sunday night after midnight, and the difficulty with that, of course, was that everybody was asleep. So it's now Friday at 10 o'clock, and it's a great slot. A lot of lovely guests. Russell Ferranti from the Yellow Jackets is on the show next week. Scott Cowan, who I know you were speaking to yourself, an American trumpet player who's also moved to Northern Ireland temporarily. He's been a guest on the show in the last few weeks, and there's quite a lot of albums that are coming out. A lot of musicians here releasing albums, because there now is a forum for those albums to get played. We have a very strong domestic product in the show, so it's very exciting times. There's a lot of listeners and a lot of encouragement, and I get a lot of encouragement back from emails, and I'm champing at the bit to get the next one done.
How is the UK City of Culture faring? Is it helping Derry be the UK City of Culture?
Well, it certainly draws a lot of attention to the area. I think the other thing sometimes can be that although Belfast and Derry are only an hour and a half away, it seems too far for many of the musicians to travel together. The people of Derry want culture. There's a very, very cultural bunch. A lot of fantastic actors, fantastic musicians, fantastic songwriters here. So that, as well as championing them, it's drawing everybody's attention to them so that the next generation get a hold, because if there's no legacy, it's not really worth it. But I think it's that legacy. It's that legacy that we're chasing, and we want to be a part of that legacy, and I know you do too.
Well, we're going to hear the sextet play further, but before that, we're also going to hear another feature with Dana Masters. And I'm going to turn to Dana and say, what is a young lady from South Carolina who was a classical music major doing in Northern Ireland singing jazz?
Oh, my word. What a long story. How long do you have? Well, the first reason is I fell in love with a boy from Dromore, County Down. And the rest of that is history. and just happened to meet Lindley, and like you said, I was in school studying classical music, and so this is quite a surprise to me to have the opportunity to play with these amazing musicians and learn from them. While I didn't grow up necessarily in jazz, you would be hard-pressed to find a Black American who has not been incredibly influenced by jazz. So much of the narrative of why this music and where it was created is a part of our story as a culture that it's become, I don't know, it's come for me so natural to roll into this experience of jazz. It almost feels, in a sense, a little bit like coming home. And so, yeah, although I wasn't necessarily brought up singing jazz, it's quite normal for me, you know?
Well, that's great. We're certainly benefiting from that. So you're going to sing a piece for us. I believe Scott Flanagan is going to accompany you on the piano.
Yes.
And it's one of the great pieces made famous by the great Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God Bless the Child.
Yes.
Dana Masters, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it's still news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. God his own. Yes, the strong get more while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Money, you got lots of friends crowding round and round your door. But when you're gone and the spending ends, they don't come around no more. Rich relations give, crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but you better not take too much. No, 'cause mama may have and papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. Child, that's got his own.
Dana Masters, ladies and gentlemen. And God Bless the Child, featuring Scott Flanagan on the piano. Please welcome back to the stage for our final set, the Linley Hamilton Sextet, and they start with N11.
Thank you.
Come along
Milena Gillard on tenor, Scott Flanagan on the piano, Carl Harvey on the bass, Steve Davis on the drums, Linley Hamilton on the trumpet, the Linley Hamilton Sextet with Dana Masters on vocals, and the Wayne Shorter composition, Black Nile. For all the titles played on today's show, check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website. That's almost the end of the show. Remember, there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. This week, he has US vibraphonist Jason Adagiewicz and his Sunrooms Trio. And on next week's jazz lineup, a concert set by pianist Alex Wilson and Cesar Correa, recorded at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in Soho, London, as part of this year's Two Piano Festival. A big thanks to everyone at the City of Derry Jazz and Big Band Festival, Walter Love, Gwilym Simcock, and Trish Clues and her band, the Linley Hamilton Sextet, featuring Dana Masters, and to everyone here at the Tyrconnell Suite at the Tower Hotel in Derry, and to everyone listening at home. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
John Shea, and welcome once again to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. To start this morning, Bach's Mass in B Minor from the 2012 BBC Proms, with soloists Joelle Harvey, Carolyn Sampson, Yestin Davis, Ed Lyon and Matthew Rose, and Harry Bickett conducting the English Concert and the Choir of the English Concert. By 1733, Bach had been in Leipzig for 10 years, and he seems to have wanted a change of scene. He approached the Catholic court in Dresden and sent them what he called a trifling product of his skill, Kyrie and Gloria. Luther had retained these parts of the Latin Mass in the Protestant service, so in theory they could also have been sung at the Thomaskirche in Leipzig. But there's no evidence that they were ever performed in either city in Bach's lifetime. So here they are as the first half of his B minor Mass.